Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which shall be the basis of our meditation this day, the Holy Spirit has caused to be written in the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, the verses just read. In Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends, sometimes we speak of people whose lives seem so useless that for all practical purposes they could be dead and buried and nobody would ever know the difference. Life for such a person seems a living death which never goes anywhere, accomplishes anything, nor does anything for anyone else. Certainly not one of us here today would want to be that kind of person. Yet our text reminds us of the abysmal state in which we find ourselves, even in a passage that is loaded with gospel proclamation. St. Paul reminds us that we were dead in our transgressions, dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh, that we had all our transgressions, that we possessed a certificate of debt against us, that certificate consisted of decrees against us, and that it was hostile to us. All of this, Paul says, in just four short verses. Clearly, in our natural state, we are among the living dead, summed up so simply by St. Paul when he said, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Our state is hopeless. Without Christ, we are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Yes, our natural state is that of the living dead. What do you do with the dead? You bury them. But St. Paul speaks of a different kind of burial this morning. You have been buried with him in baptism, he says, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. There is a small phrase that occurs three times in this text that we pass by so quickly that it is barely noticeable. That phrase is not some hapax legomenon. It is not some eloquent figure of speech. It is not some unique grammatic construction. It is a simple, common, everyday phrase: with him. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. We have been buried with him in baptism. This life filled with trespass and sin has heard its death knell and has been buried with Christ. It has been joined to him and his death, and all that signifies, his suffering, his agony on the cross, his crucifixion, we've been joined to him and to all of that in holy baptism. But we were also raised up with him. And what a difference is found there. When we were raised up, we were not the same as before. We were buried with all our sin and transgression, but when we were raised up, our transgressions and trespasses were still dead and buried. They are there in the grave where they can no longer disturb us who are raised up with him. Look at how many ways Paul puts that in these few verses. When you were dead in your transgressions, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of death. He has taken it away, having nailed it to the cross. And when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those who would hold this certificate of death over us, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. There's a wonderful baptismal hymn in our worship supplement, the third stanza of which says, "Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, God my Lord unites with me." My friends, in Christ, I believe one of the toughest battles we face as Christians is to live as though we truly believe those words. We fret and stew about our sins, worried as though God really didn't mean it when he said what he spoke through Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We live our lives, our consciences burdening us with the thoughts of past sins, which are dead and buried, disposed of once and for all. All of our sins, every last one of them, is nailed to the cross. That certificate of debt, which consists of all those accusations Satan would bring against us, is canceled, paid up. Nothing left of it at all. He can no longer tyrannize us. We have been made alive together with Christ. Now live like you're alive. Don't live like the living dead. Don't return to the things of death, immorality, impurity, greed, slander, anger. All such things belong to those that have been buried. Don't belabor the past, but rather live in the joy of those who have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that belong to life, setting your minds on the things that are above. Rejoice in the life he gives, free from the tyranny of the evil one, remembering that this is a foretaste of what is yet to come. You have been buried with him in baptism. You were raised up with him. When you were dead in trespasses and sin, you were made alive with him. Forgiven, redeemed, alive. Go your way rejoicing with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.